Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of different stuff. We've got a treat for you at the end of the show. It's one of the biggest. You see what I did there?
I saw what you did there. Good job.
Just thinking back to one of the conversations we had in the, whatever, 5 years of this show, 4.5 years of this show. The conversation that lit up the text line the most was when we talked about snack treats. And we got to kind of talking about ranking Little Debbie's. And then, of course, everybody wanted to tell us what their favorite was. Well, guess what? Little Debbie has a new treat for you. We're going to tell you what that is coming up at the end of the show and discuss how we think this is going to go. So we got that hanging out there. NFL football, which game you wanting to watch? Which one are you looking forward to the most this weekend? Will it be a disappointment? I like this theme that we've talked about throughout the weeks of the playoffs. Which quarterback has the most pressure on him this week? And then who do you want to win? And who do you think's going to win? We'll talk that. Big Ben retired right at the end of the show yesterday. Kind of talk about his career and where he sits in the pantheon of great quarterbacks. And now you can put a cap on that 2004 quarterback draft as he was the last one holding on, still playing. Compare it. Is it the best? 2004 had Eli, Phil Rivers, Ben, and kind of an ancillary Matt Schaub hanging out there that did some good things for a while. 1983 is the only one that can compare.
1983.
7 first rounders. I'll get those entire names for you. But the headliners that can go up against the Eli, Phillip Rivers, Big Ben trio, John Elway, Jim Kelly, Dan Marino. And that draft itself was famous enough. One of the better 30 for 30s out there. It's called Elway to Marino because Elway was the first pick of that first round of that draft, and Marino was the last pick in the first round of that draft all those years ago. And then just for the Big Ben retiring, and if you look back to that time, back in 1983, some real similarities between the timing and then a quarterback coming out of Pitt. And will that haunt the Steelers? Will that memory of what they missed out on, that being Dan Marino, change their view of what's happening this year with Kenny Pickett?
Interesting.
And we also have high school basketball tonight that we will talk about as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has it all. 3 radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. All that will be online tonight with games on the basketball hardwood. And then, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the shows entirely, you can go back and listen on KADSAM.com, or you can do that on iTunes. If you do it on the iTunes route, you might as well subscribe, and then you're alert when a new podcast drops. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
I'm good. It's another, you know, this time of year, out as soon as the last tournament's over for the week, you know, the regular season, I mean, that tournament week, which was last week for everybody.
Yeah.
Then you kind of look forward to, hey, at least I've got Saturdays, right? I mean, you know, I got a game on Friday, normally Tuesday, but I've got Saturday.
Right, right.
Yeah, not me.
No, you got a game Saturday.
And next Saturday.
And next Saturday. Are they night games?
Now, this will be a 1 o'clock makeup tomorrow.
Okay.
In Weatherford. So at least I guess you got that.
I enjoy that. I know you don't. I enjoy the afternoon Saturday games, regular season stuff. But I know this is a makeup and it wasn't planned like that,
right.
But I don't know why I do. I just do.
Knowing that it's going to be 68 degrees tomorrow, I'd rather this be at 6:30.
Yeah,
but the good news is we're going to be able to have our Christmas at my mother's because we have afternoon stuff going and then everybody's free at night.
You haven't had Christmas?
I have not.
Wow.
No. There was people gone, then there was some vid in the family, and now here we are. Everyone's healthy. And
did she leave the tree up at least?
I have no idea. I haven't been out there in a while. Knowing her, probably. It may just stay up all year round now.
Well, my wife would get along.
Now that she doesn't have anybody to answer to, she may just say, you know what, I'm leaving it up. I don't care what y'all say. Anyhow, so we've got that. Big Ben announced his retirement right at the end of the show yesterday. So we really didn't get to talk about him much. He was a guy that, coming out of Miami of Ohio, not necessarily a known commodity the way you felt like you knew Eli for sure. Phillip Rivers at NC State, you know, he was clearly kind of the next guy in line. And then Ben, you know, there was a lot of banter back and forth, I guess, at that time of who should have been the first pick or the second guy. Because Eli, with the pedigree of being Archie's kid, Peyton's brother, it was always going to – the only question mark there was he wasn't wanting to go to San Diego.
Yeah.
And you know, and all that, they end up trading the picks, and it worked out pretty good for both sides with New York end up with Eli, and obviously Phillip Rivers' career out of San Diego was fantastic. And then there was Ben – next. And I think it could be argued and pretty successfully so that out of the three, Ben Roethlisberger was the best quarterback in the pros. He finishes higher than Manning in every yards, completions, touchdowns for a career. He finishes higher than Eli on all those, higher than Phillip Rivers except for touchdowns. They flip-flop there. Plus, he's got the two Super Bowl wins, as does Eli Manning. Obviously, Phillip Rivers never was able to step on that field. But so if you want to compare, you know, those two as the best two, I mean, in my mind, it feels like Ben Roethlisberger was the best quarterback out of what might be the best quarterback draft of all time.
Yeah. That'd be hard to argue against. Yeah. Now, one would probably argue, and we'll get to that class, but as far as the best quarterback class of all time, well, I mean, there's a lot of trophies were won by that class, for sure.
This one?
That you just mentioned?
Yeah, 2004. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Four of them.
Yes. But, he was consistently good in Pittsburgh. Consistently good. Up until, like, the last couple of seasons. And kudos to him to try not to hold on. You know, we see that kind of happen to quarterbacks that are flaming out. And, you know, he did it right, in my opinion, stayed with one team. Nothing against Brady, but, you know, didn't go, okay, it's towards the end of my career, where can I go extend it just a little longer? And he goes to a Jacksonville or something like that. You know, he stayed with one team, retired as a Steeler, and will easily be first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, what's crazy is, I mean, there was clear decline. I mean, he got hurt, what, 2 years ago? And kind of almost had like a Tommy John type surgery on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And last year was clearly not the same. But you know what he did last year in the playoffs in that loss? He set an all-time NFL record. For most completions in a playoff game in that loss to the Browns. I think it was like 47. So even in his bad time, you know what I mean? He was still really good. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of what you take away from that. Did you see the video yesterday? I was talking about Josh Allen and how, you know, their size and their arm strength and all that kind of compares a little bit, right, to Ben, to me. And they showed the drill where they were throwing the dummies at him in practice at Ben. And hitting him, trying to, you know, and he was just bouncing off all of them and knocking one down. And it was like, oh my gosh. I'd never seen that video of that drill, but it looked like him playing, like in the pocket where he'd bounce off of people and move. You know, it was like, oh my, he literally practiced that stuff. But with regard to the draft, and whether or not this is the best one or not. Statistically, it's going to be. And that's a function of the game changing between the careers of Elway, Marino, and Kelly, which in a lot of ways, Marino and Kelly were the first guys to kind of play like everybody does now. You know, the K-gun with when Jim Kelly finally got from the USFL to the Bills, and the high-speed, no-huddle offense that was run there in Buffalo that was so wildly successful that it led to 4 straight Super Bowl appearances. You know, that was kind of a little bit of a pioneer, and if that's not the way that Shula and Marino ran that offense down in Miami is, you know, that just the way that they played, they were kind of the first ones that slung it all around the yard. And, mm-hmm. and to me, it's a credit to Marino's career. When you look at where he's at statistically all time, he's still in the top 10 in all the 3 major categories, yards, completions, and touchdowns. That's how, you know what I mean? That's how far and away he was different than anybody in his time or before him, that everybody's slinging it around the yard and only 6 people have been able to pass him.
Wow.
Now, 2 of those are Rivers and Ben, obviously. But, you know, you mentioned the Super Bowls. Like, when you say the names together, when you say Eli, Ben, and Philip Rivers, it doesn't create, I don't know, it doesn't create the mystique in my mind as it does when you say Elway, Marino, and Kelly.
Well, that's because we grew up watching yeah. these guys as kids, and they were gods of football when we were kids, right? And now this class, this was post high school years, 04, and it was, we were more critical as sports fans. So I see what you know that.
I mean, there's people that honestly,
it's a psychological thing.
There's honestly people that don't think Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer because he threw too many picks. I mean, that's ludicrous. Yeah, but there's people that think that. It's like, what?
That is ludicrous. That's crazy.
So who do you take?
Who as for what?
Which draft was better?
Well, we're going to weigh Super Bowls versus Super Bowls. Like, you know, how many were won by each class? We're going to weigh records.
You can weigh it however. You can weigh it however you want to.
To me, I lean 83, and it's just a slight lean. I felt like those guys did it longer. I mean, this is the class of 83. How old were you? 3?
Mm-hmm. 2, when it actually 2? Happened.
Yeah. I was not born. I was born in July.
Yeah, I know you say that, but when you look it up, they didn't go longer.
Really? It just feels like, because I remember, I at a young age, remember... Obviously, Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
I remember Let's Dan see. Marino.
That's an interesting.
I remember, was it Montana, right?
No. Elway, Kelly,
sorry,
and
Elway.
Marino.
Yeah. Oh, obviously remember Elway. I mean, I remember that Super Bowl.
Similar years. Okay, so 83 to 98. That's what, 16 seasons?
83 to 98.
I mean... 83, 98 is 15, but you add one because one of them counts.
Correct.
So that's 16 years. Ben played from 04 through 2022. Or yeah. 2020. No, so he had 18 years.
It's funny how time is perceived when you're a kid. It just feels like I know. It played for 25 years, it felt like. But
well, in a lot of ways, these guys that we're talking about back then,
oh, breaking news.
They did play way longer. Okay, so Kelly, 84. With the Gamblers, and then he retired in 96. So he played 13 seasons. So that's way less than anybody on this list. And then Marino is going to be, what, 15 or 16 years? He's similar to Elway. One more year than Elway, so 17. So, you know, those new guys played as long, if not longer. They won more Super Bowls. Their stats are way higher as far as a collective. All 3 of those guys from 2004 are inside the top 10 in every category there is, whereas only Marino's there on the other side for 83. But I agree with you. It feels like when you say the names, Kelly, Elway, Marino, that trio feels better than Eli, Ben, and Phil Rivers. It just feels better. It does. I mean, it's not analytically, it's not quantitatively with the numbers that were put up by, but they played in different eras. So that's where the numbers argument, you win with the newer guys from 2004, but it doesn't feel like that's the right answer.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Breaking news, what?
Well, first to finish your thought on that, I feel like that class was tougher because you had Dan Marino, who was kidnapped along with a dolphin, and Ace Ventura saved him. He came back to play the second half of that. No, I'm kidding.
Isotoner gloves.
Isotoner, huh? Breaking news. Leedy High School girls do not have enough to play tonight due to injury and illness. So both games have been canceled. They're supposed to play Thomas.
Okay. Well, there you go. It's interesting to look back, specifically with Marino and Pittsburgh and what's going on this year.
Yeah.
With the draft. Because a lot of people with Terry Bradshaw was clearly on his way to the end, if not the end, in 1983.
Right.
Pittsburgh did not go with the hometown boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming out of the University of Pittsburgh, which was Dan Marino. It didn't happen.
Who did they go with?
They went with a defensive lineman from Texas Tech. His Villanueva, I believe, was his name. And, you know, the way that circumstances work, he was injured in a car crash after his first year, and so he didn't amount. Gabriel Rivera is his name. Hmm. Rivera, defensive tackle Tech, and he played 1 year, and then he was injured in a car crash and never got to play again.
Who was the quarterback?
He was paralyzed, actually, and he didn't even play a whole season.
Oh dear. Who was the quarterback for Pittsburgh after?
Oh gosh, yeah, it was a conga line of guys.
Right.
You know, from the oh man, back then. Let's see. It was a whole bunch of different dudes. Let's see if we can get that. It's the 83. We'd have to look. Can you Google that up?
Yeah, I'm going for it right now.
Mark Malone.
There's Bradshaw. After Bradshaw, Mark Malone, David Woodley, Scott Campbell. I mean, they went with Mark Malone for quite a while, on and off through 84 to 87. And then those guys I just mentioned. Buddy Brister.
Yeah, get to Buddy Brister at some point.
Todd Blackledge, a name you remember. That sounds familiar.
Turns out he was in that 83 draft in the first round.
Neil O'Donnell.
Yeah, then you get to O'Donnell. Then you get to, like, Cordell Stewart.
Cordell Stewart. That's mm-hmm. when you start to remember. Yep. Cordell Stewart was there for a bit. Tommy Maddox, and then Big Ben.
So not Dan Marino.
And you would like to think if they went with Dan Marino, it would have been the Terry Bradshaw era. The Dan Marino era.
And then almost the Ben.
Big Ben era.
Think about how that would their quarterbacking would rival their coaching. They've only had three of those this entire time, coaches.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they pick Marino, they almost get through that whole, from 1974, 75 to 2022 with three quarterbacks. That is unbelievable to think about.
Yeah. So
will that influence their decision? I mean, here's the deal. In a lot of the mock drafts you see now, they're not going to have a chance to pass up on Kenny Pickett because they're drafted 20. Most drafts have him gone before it ever gets to Pittsburgh. But I think the similarities are pretty crazy when you think about an all-time great from Pittsburgh, the quarterback that team for a long time with huge success, and it just happens to be one of the guys sitting there as a possible replacement in a draft is from Pitt, the same way Dan Marino was from Pitt, and they passed on him, and they were in quarterback oblivion for 20 years until in 2004 they drafted Ben Roethlisberger.
Now, would they because there's been some out of the Pittsburgh camp that says they're going to stick with the two guys that are left, and they'll have a quarterback battle, and it's going to be between those two guys, yeah, being Rudolph and...
Oh, that's a report we got at that first Monday after they got beat in the playoffs.
Right.
Ian Rappaport had that out there.
Right. Is that the way to go, or, I mean, do they... The fans want Pickett, I think. And he'd be clearly,
I think the fans want Rodgers.
Well.
Or Wilson.
Well. As far as your long-term investment, I think you'd want Pickett. Hometown kid and all that. And
yeah,
you
just
never know.
It just depends. I mean, if he's there, yeah, I think they take him. But I don't know that he's...
Doesn't Pitt play in that stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes nowhere. He's probably just...
He would just leave
his locker's right there.
Probably right there, yeah.
I think the only difference is between that one and this one, Pittsburgh didn't have to do any maneuvering to be in position to draft Marino, and they just didn't. This one feels like they would have to. So what, they'd have to make a move. So what is the cost versus what you believe Pickett's going to be, if that makes sense? You know, in what you're going to have to give up in draft capital moving forward, and
yeah.
Are you just taking him for the romanticism of it all?
The problem with Pittsburgh is they were a playoff team, and I haven't seen where they fall in the draft.
20th.
Would Pickett even be there?
Yeah, I don't think so. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you have to get up there to get him.
Yeah, most mock drafts have him gone by the time they pick. I think I've seen one that has him taking him. The others I've seen, it's like Malik Willis from Liberty, quarterback.
Oh.
Is there. Corral is there, but not Pickett. Most of them don't have Pickett there. So,
I think the better question is, if they had drafted Marino, would Marino have a world title?
Golly.
He never won one. He never won a Super Bowl.
No, he played right at his second year.
Yeah, but he never won one. I don't think, did he play for any more? I don't think he did. Would he have... And would Pittsburgh have been in a better position? Because they didn't. They were kind of, I don't know where.
They weren't the greatest in the late 80s.
No, they got to Super Bowl against the Cowboys.
That was in 1995.
I forget who the quarterback was.
Neil O'Donnell.
Would
they threw two soul-crushing picks to Larry Brown.
Would they have had a better chance with Dan Marino?
You would think so. You definitely think so.
And think about that history-changing moment.
Exactly. Do the Bears go undefeated without Marino in Miami? You had some breaking news. The Leedy game's off tonight.
Yeah.
So they are off the schedule. Elk City homecoming tonight. Blanchard in town. I don't know. Blanchard, maybe.
It's in town?
Yeah, it's in town right here at the Pioneer Center.
I guess I read that wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, homecoming here at Elk City.
Okay. Oh, it is homecoming. Well,
it is homecoming.
Makes sense.
Interesting last night.
It's homecoming in Merritt, too.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Who they got?
Hammond.
Ooh, Merritt and Hammond.
No rematch that girls game.
Pretty good girls game last Friday? Well, a week ago. Exactly a week ago.
Yeah.
Interesting results last night, I thought, for Blanchard, especially on the boys' side. You know, they went into that game 7-8 on the season, and they pretty well put it to Clinton. It was 44-23 at one point. They win 52-36. And they actually swept Clinton last night at home as the Lady Reds fell to the Lady Lions 35-26.
Oh, they played last night?
Played last night. So the Elks are getting Blanchard. Elks and Elkettes, that is, getting Blanchard on the back end of a back-to-back, which will happen for Weatherford tomorrow with the Elk City teams. That's a 1 o'clock start with the Elkettes and the Lady Eagles over at Weatherford. So last two games that actually count as far as playoff pairings, Elkettes now 9-8 after the loss on Tuesday. The Elks are 6-8. I realize those two records don't add up to the same amount of games because the Elkettes played an extra game down in Altus after falling in the semifinals. So that's why that's different. But tough tasks tonight, but it'd sure be good wins to pick up with what's coming tomorrow and a really hard ask for both teams with Weatherford playing on the home court over there at the Eagles. And let's see what Lady Eagles are ranked number 4 at 14-2. And the Eagles have been flying up the rankings. They settle at 12, 14-3. They haven't lost since the Custer County conflict, first game out of the Christmas break.
Yeah, they've been playing really good.
9 straight wins. And one would, just looking at results, one would probably assume if they replayed that game, Clinton trending a little down, Weatherford trending way up, that result might be different. But, yeah, that the Weatherford boys, they, like I said, 9 straight.
I mean, two of their losses come, I mean, one was by 3 points. One was by 1 point.
In overtime.
In overtime.
And then Clinton clipped them by 12 out of the break. So, yeah, that'll be tough. That'll be really tough asks. But Weatherford will be on the second night of a back-to-back, too, as they've got Chickasha tonight at home. So they'll play two home games. And it's not like a big, long travel for Elk City over to Weatherford. But, yeah, there's that. Small schools minus Leedy. Leedy Thomas not happening. It's coming up on Sunday. Which game do you want to watch the most?
I want to watch, because I think it, honestly, I think it'll be closer, is 49ers-Rams. The familiarity of them being in the same division, a lot at stake. I mean, in right now, 49ers just feel like they're trending upwards or playing. You know, it's like not how you start, how you finish. Right now, they just seem to be that kind of like that hot team. I think that might be the most intriguing game for me.
I'm the opposite. I know the 49ers won 6 straight against the Rams. I know that you know, Garoppolo's been to a Super Bowl and Stafford hasn't. I just, after watching that the Rams defensive front against the Bucs, now the Bucs were depleted a little bit, obviously, at the tackle spot there at the right tackle with Wirfs out, and then the backup was hobbled and he ended up out. But man, it feels like the more entertaining game is in Kansas, or at least has the chance to be in Kansas City. Like, I mean, I think when I approach that question, I look at it, I think of it as, okay, how could there be a close game? How could there possibly be an upset? Rams Niners, as we talked about yesterday, feels like the way for that to be close and an upset is it for it to be an ugly defensive battle and nobody gets to 20, you know, or low 20s.
Yeah.
Whereas on the other side, Chase and Burrow go nuts and it's just a shootout, kind of like it was Sunday night with Bills Chiefs. Chase had 266 on 11 catches and 3 touchdowns against the Chiefs just a couple of weeks ago. Burrow threw for 450 some, 4 touchdowns, no picks. And so that I think I give the Niners more chance to beat the Rams than I do the Bengals to beat the Chiefs. But if the Bengals can pull it off or make it close, I think it's going to be super duper high flying exciting football to watch. And so that's why I would lean, I'd rather watch Bengals Chiefs, even though I would agree it has the chance to not be the close game.
Yeah. If things go right, and came on the text line about Joe Burrow Jamar Chase. I don't know why. I forget one name. I can remember another. If things go well between those two, if they're in sync, then, yeah, I mean, that one can be high-flying good.
Yeah, I think they in the contrast of styles in the games is pretty interesting, too, because it's almost like, okay, do you like the new style of football where they fly up and down the field offensively and it's, you know, 35 to 31? Or do you like the more traditional, older style of an NFL football game where they field position, punts, one major mistake is going to be a backbreaker in a 17-13 game, or, you know, like a 24-21 or whatever, you know, way less scoring, more defensive oriented. Do you think it's going to be a disappointment? I mean, it almost has to be a little bit of a disappointment when you compare it to last week, just because there's no way every single game is going to be a walk-off win like all 4 were last week. That's just not going to happen. But what constitute to you disappointments? Like neither game is close going into the fourth quarter, something like that, yeah. Which, quite frankly, I could see it happen.
Sure. Yeah, that. I mean, listen, I think we got to get it in our heads right now. Both these games are not going to live up to what happened last week. Last week was historically good, entertaining, fun, all that stuff. It's not, but it's entertaining to me for the fact that the winners are going to move on to the Super Bowl. Who's it going to be? So That's always going to keep my interest. Disappointing would be if it's going into the fourth quarter, and we already know who that is. I like it to at least, you know, if it's a 10-point win for either team, I'd least like it to be that team winning by three in going into the fourth
quarter. Yeah, like kick a field goal to ice it or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Nothing, you know, if we get more walk-off kicks or overtime games, so be it. Awesome. Then the run continues, and that can only mean the Super Bowl is just going to be out of this world fantastic. But for me, for it to not be disappointing is that scenario I just said.
At least the game in doubt.
I won't be disappointed if it's a 10-point win, 13-point win for one team, or you know, because that tells me maybe the game was still undecided going into or even midway through the fourth quarter. I don't want it to be decided by the midway through the third. I don't want it to be, but who knows? Could be like Tampa Bay, LA last week when we thought that that outcome was already decided when it was 27-3.
Right.
You know.
How about this one?
But and that's a good thing too, because people could always go, "Oh well, LA, look, they're up again, 27-3." But I'm not turning it because look what they did last week against Tampa Bay.
Can you tell me the last Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was last year.
The last Super Bowl that didn't involve Ben, Peyton, Brady, or the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, there's that one. Was it the one with Eli?
No, Brady was there both times.
Oh, that's right, Brady. No, I can't. It's only an hour-long show and we only have 21 more minutes. I don't have time. I can't.
Tampa Bay Raiders.
Oh, wow. That's 02?
02 season.
Yeah, wow.
That's how long it's been since either Brady, Peyton, Ben, or the Niners haven't been in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so are you rooting for the Rams here? So we
I mean, that's the only way you break that. That's the only way you break that trend.
Although I wouldn't mind the 49ers getting in. I wouldn't mind.
Which quarterback has the most pressure on him in your mind?
Jimmy G.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Kansas City's at home. Mahomes has been there. He's done that. Burrow just seems like he's always cool, calm, and collect. He's beaten Kansas City already once this year. Did you know towards the end of that game last week, his
yeah, he started calling plays in the huddle.
Because his communication stuff went down on him. That is heads and shoulders way ahead than what he should be right now to me. So I think he's just a cool cat, and he's not going in with a lot of pressure. Because, listen, they've already exceeded expectations too.
Oh, to me, Burrow has zero.
Yeah, zero.
Once again,
yeah, he's
once
in a
again,
win-win
zero.
Situation. If they lose, like, oh, well, hey, you got us here. We'll take the next step next year. Good job. We talked about, you know, being
he's
ahead
the
of
first,
schedule.
Oh, yeah, he's the first number one overall pick at the quarterback spot to make a conference finals in his first 2 years.
Yeah.
He's got zero.
No, no pressure there.
I don't really think Jimmy G does either.
Really?
I really don't. I mean, when if
I mean, because
if the Rams beat him, what are they going
to
do?
Yesterday, he has an opportunity to make some real good money if he can get his team to the Super Bowl.
Has he not already done it?
But he has a chance to really just.
Oh, it gets more.
You know what I mean?
I think that's a fascinating case.
Or do you think of Stafford? Because we brought you in here for one reason.
I think Stafford has the most.
To get to the Super Bowl. That is the only reason we brought you in here.
I think Stafford has the most. To me, it's Mahomes second because of the legacy stuff that he's trying to build. Then you got Jimmy G just – and I think Jimmy G is third just because Burrow has zero. I mean, there's some just as a competitor. But as far as – I mean, no one's going to lambast Joe Burrow even if he's terrible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No one's going to go, oh, my God.
No, no.
Listen, it's going to be, oh, a young guy just wasn't quite ready, like you're saying. Yeah, it'd be, go back to the drawing board, little skipper, and we'll see what you can do next year.
Yeah.
Now, if Jimmy G is terrible, then the narrative coming out will be, see, that's why you can't pay him the big money. So in that sense, I think he has to be third. But I don't think he has any – because Jimmy G isn't going to be ever considered in the atmosphere of all-time greats like Mahomes has the chance to be. And not necessarily that Stafford is in that conversation now. But listen, he's just 33. And if he puts together with the numbers, sheer numbers he put up in Detroit, even though there wasn't a ton of success, if he can move to L.A., say what if the Rams win two out of the next four? All of a sudden, the conversation about Matthew Stafford is completely different than it is right now. And because of, yeah, he is the missing link, right? All offseason, that's all anybody said as soon as that trade was made was, oh, now the Rams really can win it because Stafford's such an upgrade over Goff.
Yeah.
That's why I think he has the most pressure, followed by Mahomes. Then, like I said, but I think the guy with the most to gain, that's Jimmy G. If he can win this game, and then he looks around and says, hey, guess what? In whoever he wants to play for next year, being the Niners maybe as well. You're really going to throw me out of my butt? I took you to two of the last three Super Bowls.
Good point.
I mean, yeah. Who else is doing that?
Yeah, no one. Yeah.
Mahomes, maybe, you know. And by the way, I played him off his feet the last time we went to the Super Bowl, and we had a great chance to win. So that's – I think he has the most to gain, but I just don't think there's that much pressure on him because he's already kind of exceeded expectations. I guess is where I'm – that's how I kind of think of it. I think of it more as of what's happens if you lose, as opposed to win. You know what I mean? Like that's where I kind of think of where the pressure comes. All right, who do you want to win? Who do you want to see in the Super Bowl?
Oh, the underdogs. Oh, right. I mean, I want Cincinnati for some personal reasons, and I want the 49ers because obviously they're the underdog. After thinking about it, I'm not a real big fan of the home team hosting a Super Bowl. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is so incredible. We went to 50 of them in a row, and that didn't happen. And now 51 and 52 are going to be back-to-back home team. That's crazy.
But, you know, we all root for the underdog, and it'd be kind of nice as a Cowboy fan to say, see, we got beat by a Super Bowl representative. We got beat by the NFC champs. And it's also kind of a thorn in the side going, man, should have won that game against the NFC champs, the eventual NFC champs. But, no, I think that – I mean, everybody loves an underdog. And that's who I'd want to see. I want to see the underdogs. I want to see Cincinnati. I want to see that story continue. And I want to see the 49ers for the reasons I said earlier. I think they're one of the hotter teams right now.
In order to reach – this is ESPN Stats and Info, just popped up. In order to reach the Super Bowl – the 49ers will have to do something that hasn't been done since 1966. And that is win four straight games all on the road. The last team to do that was the 1966 Kansas City Chiefs. They won their final three regular season games. Of course, the playoffs were different. They won one playoff game to get to the Super Bowl. Four straight on the road. I want to see Rams Chiefs. I couldn't agree. You know what? I wouldn't. Honestly, I don't care who wins the AFC game because I think we get fireworks in the Super Bowl no matter which team is there.
That's a good point.
If it's Burrow, if it's Mahomes, you know, the Rams Chiefs seems like the pick because of a game you mentioned the other day. That regular season game Monday night, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Where it was just and we all thought actually it's 2 years ago, right? Because we all thought it might be we all thought it might be the Super Bowl again.
Right.
And it wasn't. Maybe it was three. It was three. Because it was the year the Rams played in the Super Bowl, 2018. And then the Pats knocked off the Chiefs in the AFC championship game. Because then the year after that it was Chiefs, Niners. Yeah. It was the year the Rams got beat in the 2018. That's what I'm gonna say. Mahomes is just getting going. We just realized his powers.
Yeah.
So that would be, you know, one of those would be fun. I think the Bengals would be fun. And then, you know, for what you're saying, you know, 1989 was one of the better Super Bowls ever between the Niners and the Bengals with the John Taylor pass from Montana there.
The John Candy game.
John Candy game. That's exactly right. Who's going to win?
I'm going to go with the home teams. I think it will be L.A., and I think it will be Kansas City, but I don't think I lean to what I said earlier. I think it will not be – both games will not be decided. We won't know a winner going into the fourth quarter. The other team, Cincinnati and San Francisco, they're not just walking in already thinking, well, we've come this far. They're there to win it, and they're going to give a fight. They got, I mentioned 49ers. Cincinnati has the talent to hang with Kansas City for a good portion of that game. But I think the two best teams in the NFL will rise up and win this thing or win on this weekend. That's Kansas City and that's L.A.
Yeah, you got to be concerned. If you're a Bengals fan, Jason, your brother-in-law, got to be concerned about that offensive line. They cannot afford to give up 9 sacks this week, obviously. I mean, that was just a total anomaly that they were able to win that game with 9 sacks. It's hard to beat somebody 3 times. But as we said, now the Niners have beat them 6 in a row.
So it's hard to beat somebody 7 times.
I just have a feeling that what happened last week with a couple of those upsets with Tennessee, the one seed's going down to the teams that are playing here. I got a feeling as much fun as that created last week, it's going to make for kind of snoozers this week. Because you're not really getting the best teams playing in the conference finals, which normally you do. But this time, even when it's a lower seed, like say either one of these teams, but they've been really high flying for like the last month and a half, like, oh my gosh. And maybe, San Francisco a little bit like that, but they're not any fun to watch because Jimmy G is holding on for dear life, trying not to screw it up for the rest of his team. And then Burrow and those guys are young, and they kind of have, to me, you know what they feel like to me? Those early, early Thunder teams where you're like, eh, they win, they lose, they'll be back. Look at these young guys. Can't wait. They're going to be the fun team.
Right.
So you don't really, whereas on the other side, it's all the pressure in the world is on those home teams. Could that make for a, and you've been on the letdown train too with Kansas City just because of how great that game was.
Yeah. The hangover.
Last week.
Yeah, it feels like, the 4A state championship game. Turned out the semifinal in Wedford was the better game.
Yeah. It might be this week for one of those two teams. I think the best Super Bowl is Rams Chiefs, so that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Wrapping it up on a Friday for the week with a sweet tooth.
This was mind blowing when this.
So yesterday at the end of the show, two things popped up as breaking news. One of those was that Ben Roethlisberger had announced his retirement as quarterback of the Steelers. The other was that our friends at Little Debbie Snack Cakes have given us a new treat. Now, I did not realize that they had already done a little bit of a treat for us over the Christmas break. Did you realize this?
No, I didn't. It felt like that might have been like a kind of like a restaurant or, like a soft opening. Let's see how we do here. What do we need to work on? Should we continue this?
So over the Christmas break, Little Debbie released Little Debbie Christmas Tree ice cream.
That sounds like a natural marriage there. Like a good combination. Ice cream and Little Debbie Christmas tree cakes.
Correct. And according to the company in a news release, it was, quote, wildly popular and became an immediate sensation for the holiday season.
That's coming from the company. Somehow it went past our Christmas radar.
Yeah, I had no idea until I saw this story yesterday.
Okay.
But because it was so wildly popular and because it became an immediate sensation for the holiday season, Little Debbie is going to dip their toe into year-round ice cream flavors.
Oh, my goodness.
7 of those to be exact. February 1st, which is just next Tuesday, is the launch date at Walmart.
So you got to tell us the flavors.
The flavors coming. And I've even got a description for you.
Oh, my.
Of each flavors and how it's going to work. Cosmic Brownies Ice Cream. It's going to be brownie batter ice cream filled with mini rainbow chips and brownie pieces. Okay?
Okay.
Zebra Cakes Ice Cream. White, you know, we know the zebra cakes.
Yeah.
White cake ice cream with yellow cake pieces and milk fudge, milk chocolate fudge swirl. Honey buns.
Honey buns and ice cream?
Honey bun flavored ice cream with glazed honey bun pieces and a sweet cinnamon swirl.
So can I eat that for breakfast? Because sometimes I eat honey buns for breakfast.
Maybe so. Strawberry shortcake rolls ice cream. White cake ice cream with yellow cake pieces and a tart strawberry swirl. Swiss rolls ice cream, which these are some of my favorite, the Swiss cake rolls. Chocolatey cake ice cream with chocolate cake pieces and a swirl of whipped cream. Mm. Nutty bars ice cream.
There it is.
Peanut butter ice cream swirled with the chocolatey waffle cone pieces and a thick fudge swirl.
Oh, my goodness.
And last but certainly not least, the one that everybody's been waiting for. Oatmeal cream pie ice cream. Vanilla cream ice cream, soft oatmeal cookie pieces, and a hint of molasses.
I don't want to be a Debbie Downer.
But you're going to be.
I don't. That one is less appealing to me. The oatmeal one. Not seeing how that works in ice cream. But the rest sound fantastic. And I like the oatmeal.
Well, I'll be the first purchase I will make will be to tell you if you're wrong or not.
Okay.
Because that's the one. Well, it's just the oatmeal cream pie is the best.
Yeah. I think the first one I'm going to try.
We got zebra cakes for the win over here.
Zebra cakes? Yeah. Okay. I think I'm going to do the strawberry.
It's going to be gangbusters. For my palate, honestly, the one that sounds the best.
Yeah.
With stuff I like. Is the nutty bars, peanut butter, chocolate,
yeah, that
fudge.
And I saw the picture. It looks like are they going to sell them in like the Haagen-Dazs style, like the single serve.
It looks like two. Let's see, flavors will cost you $2.50 a piece. So I would assume it's smaller. Pints.
There you go.
Single.
Yep.
Well, it can be single serve depending on you know how hungry your boy is over here. Yeah, Ben and Jerry's style exactly. Yeah. Who isn't able to crush a whole little Ben and Jerry's?
Yep.
Come on now. If we're going to be honest here, let's be honest.
Tuesday. So should we go and get some of this and try and see how strong our will is and not eat it and taste test them, one or two of them, on Wednesday on the show?
I personally think it would be doing a disservice to the listeners if we only taste two and not all seven. I think if we're going to do this, we got to do them all.
Absolutely. Okay, I won't argue there. I love it.
Tuesday, let's see.
So we'll I'll to go
be
get
in,
it Tuesday.
I'll be in the city.
You see, it might have to be you. I can go check Tuesday at Walmart here.
Yeah, how could we?
Okay, and if it's not here, then I'll say, hey, man, you need to stop somewhere in the city and look for this stuff.
Yeah, Walmart.
Well, of course. Stop at one of the Walmarts in the city.
And then just take a cooler with ice to keep it frozen.
There you go. We got a plan.
Yeah, if not, we'll just have to look Wednesday. I mean, I understand the excitement of getting it out there.
Oh, man.
Very first day.
I'm kind of disappointed we brought this to air. Now we've made it aware that everybody's going to be running the Walmart on Tuesday to get this ice cream. But it's going to be a hit, right? Has to be.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like it could be bad.
You know, I thought that too. Was it this summer or last summer when Sonic came out with the...
Did you try the...
I never did because everybody said they were bad.
The alcoholic beverages of the Sonic flavors. Like, you'd think cherry limeade would be fantastic.
How did you not lead off the show with this?
We kept you listening, Drew.
That's right. You had to listen to the whole show. Yes. You'd have turned it off. You just went, wait a minute. Who cares about the conference title games in the NFL? I need Little Debbie ice cream talk. I told Jared before the show, this is all I wanted to talk about, and we decided against that. All right, where's you have the schedule?
Real quick, I need to say face. Sonic is awesome, and we love their drinks, but we've heard that the alcohol.
The reason why I thought it was going to be so good
because we love their drinks. We love
who hasn't had a cup of Sonic ice with a cherry limeade in it, and maybe a little vod. I thought that's what those things were going to be in a can.
We've all been to college, or okay.
Hello. I mean. Anytime you were trying to illicitly sneak in alcohol, it was in a Sonic cup. I mean, we love them.
Anyways.
Hey, I guess.
What do you want to do?
I want to read this.
Oh, okay.
Benefit night for Paul Warnke. That's tomorrow. His fight is our fight. Come help him out. Saturday, which is tomorrow, January 29th, 6 to 10, Friends Pub and Pizza, 40% off, 40% of all food and drinks ordered from 6 to 10 there at Friends will go directly to Paul and his family to help cover medical and travel expenses. Tyler Wilhelm will be there playing acoustic from 7 to 9. Donations can also be given if you'd just like to come and support a great member of the community there in Canute. 6 to 10 tomorrow, Friends Pub and Pizza, Paul Warnke, a benefit night for Paul Warnke. A lot of fun. I know there's hoops over there, little kid hoops tournament that I'm sure you'll be some way a part of. And just a good deal.
Yeah. Well, we'll be there working it. But, that hoops tournament over there raising money for Little Easton Bingham, Coach Bingham's softball coach's son, having some medical stuff. So all the proceeds going to him. I know they're even selling T-shirts. So come on out and see some future girls basketball stars out here in Western Oklahoma because there's a lot of Western Oklahoma teams in it. Burns Flat, I know, is in it. I'm going off the top of my head. Burns Flat. Merritt, Thomas, of course, Canute, Elk City will have a team there. And that is from the third grade team, so the sixth grade group might have some others too. You want to talk about games tonight?
Go ahead.
Go do that. Let's see here. Elk City at Blanchard at Elk City. Elk City's homecoming tonight. Cheyenne visiting Arapaho. Eric is at Sharon Mutual. Canute on the road at Granite. Hammond visiting Merritt. And all those games on Paragon TV. Just go to ParagonTV.com, click on your school, and you're good to go.
Leedy Games off.
No Leedy Games.
Leedy and Thomas is off. And then also Internet Sleuths. Haven't seen anything official on this, but there's been Internet Sleuths scouring the enrollment of different universities.
Mm, yeah.
And according to some Internet Sleuths, Jackson Dart has enrolled at Ole Miss. And then also Caleb Williams. Today is the deadline at USC. If you want to be a student in the spring semester, supposedly his name is in that role as well. Nothing official yet from any of those sides, but that is kind of the internet sleuthing going on behind the scenes. There's no better group of internet sleuths than college football fans. From flight track aware software, flight awares to doing this, looking literally scouring through the email database of universities to see if anybody's enrolled.
Right.
Probably talk about that on Monday when some of that stuff's official. All kinds of stuff. Everybody have a great weekend. This has been the Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.